Now, our first guest today has been involved in a discussion on this. She is the lived experience officer at the ECDP, which is the Essex Coalition of Disabled People. They're based in Chelmsford. Faye Savage. Morning, Faye.
Good morning.
I found this really quite disturbing, actually. Disability hate crime. How would you define it?
I mean, there's a large and complex set of sort of legal definitions, but essentially it's a crime committed against a disabled person because they are a disabled person.
And by crime, you mean proper crime, criminal activity?
Absolutely. I think, you know, disability hate crime can span a number of incidents. It can start off at very low-level things like minor criminal damage and kind of go right up to the stuff like murder that we're very familiar with seeing in the media, unfortunately.
And what, murder? People murdered simply because they have a disability?
Yeah, absolutely.
Give me some examples of the low-level stuff. You know, how does it start?
I think the things we are familiar with are the big cases, like the Fiona Pilkington case a couple of years back. But, those big cases that we're aware of start with, you know, someone calling names in the street or perhaps throwing things at your window. You know, the things that on their own you might ignore, but in as a collective become a big thing that escalate, basically.
Right, and this is simply because somebody has a disability, therefore is a vulnerable target, I assume.
Yes, I mean, I think, you know, there is a complex set of reasons behind this, but, you know, vulnerability is certainly one of them. And I think also just the general misunderstanding of disability and disability issues can lead to a sort of, you know, a collection of circumstances that can cause this sort of crime, yes.
Now, you've had a recent event, though, where you've been discussing all this. Who else was involved?
Well, we had some key attendees from Essex Police, which was great, and also people from councils, both at kind of Essex level, but also local councils, academics, and just a kind of range of people from voluntary and community services as well.
Did you actually get to the bottom of why it occurs? Because I mentioned the word vulnerability. Is that the essence of it?
I think there's a lot of things, and especially you mentioned just before I came on about, you know, the kind of financial pressures that are on people at the moment. Those barriers are felt especially by disabled people. So, you know, there's a kind of a set of barriers that go there beforehand. But as I said, it's very complex. And the roundtable wasn't about kind of looking at only why this happens, although, of course, that's very important. Mm. But actually, what can be done to stop it and how we can look at where it's happening and how it's happening and what can be done to address it.
I would suggest, though, that you can't really deal with those later things until you have a motivation. You've got to actually examine the motivation before you can stop it.
Absolutely. And I mean, the fact that the Crown Prosecution Service definition of hate crime includes heavier sentencing because of that motivation shows that it's a serious thing, you know, to target someone because they're a disabled person. It's not just the crime itself, but the motivation that's important.
I suspect a lot of this isn't ever reported.
No, absolutely. Reporting levels are very low, and that's part of the problem. And obviously there's a number of reasons for this. I mean, the Crown Prosecution Service statistics a few years back showed just 4 disability hate crimes in Essex, and they've recently risen to 16. So it sounds like a funny thing to say that rise is a good thing, but actually it is, because it shows that people are reporting it more.
Obviously. So it's always happened, but now people are saying, no, I'm sorry, but I'm simply not going to put up with this anymore.
Absolutely, but actually not enough people are doing that. You know, it's great that rise has been seen, but 16 people isn't a realistic figure. And we know that, you know, when we've been talking about this issue with our members, which has been a key part of our research, you know, they're sitting going, actually, you know, this happened to me and that happened to me and this has been happening to me for 10 years. And, you know, they're realising with that kind of discussion, you know, and straight away we've got more than 16 people just there. So it's about recognising it. And that rise in figures is a good thing because it shows that people are.
And you said earlier on, it sort of starts with the small stuff, you know, the abuse and so on.
Yes.
Which is simply bad manners and it's just bad behaviour, isn't it? But you've got to nip it there before it becomes crime, haven't you?
Definitely, and that's why a large part of our discussion yesterday was around educating people, you know, the would-be perpetrators, if you like, and catching them at a young age to kind of dispel that sort of ignorance that surrounds disability, but actually also education of disabled people themselves to understand their rights and to know that you don't actually have to put up with this kind of thing just because it's become an everyday part of your life.
That's a great word you used, actually, and it, for me, it just sort of jumped out, the word ignorance, because anybody who does this is just illustrating their own ignorance of so many different